Thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in six different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. So good to see you again. And today we're going to do something just a little bit different, a little unique. We are continuing part three of our relational intelligence series. How many of y'all, you've gotten some stuff out of it? Let me at least encourage me a little bit, right? Yeah, it's been okay. All right, anyway. And so today's week three, and I'm going to be relational, and I'd like to introduce you to intelligence. Can I get an amen right here? And so we're going to have a little conversation. I did want to say special greetings out today. We Pastor Nick and Rachel, and Rachel's mom and dad are here from Alabama, right over there. Would y'all stand up real quick? We want to greet y'all. Welcome, Rachel Carroll's mom and dad. He's got his Roll Tide T-shirt on. Don't just love him anyway, right? Bless those who curse you, the scripture says. No, they're incredible folks, and we're honored to have them. We thought today we'd do something just a little bit different. We wanted to have a conversation with you. And so we said, let's do it as if you were at our house and you came over and you sat on the couch with us. And we just had a conversation in our living room. What would that come out like? And we decided just to do something a little bit different. Some Sundays, Pastor Nick will preach, or I'll preach, or sometimes Heidi speaks as well. And we thought today we would just have that kind of conversation today with you. Is that okay? And we're going to do it anyway, so anyway, it doesn't matter what you say. And then I want to encourage you to go back and get the podcast from last week. Last week, I told you not everybody should have equal access to your life. And I helped you identify who needs to be in that friend zone, because it's real important to who you got in the zone with you. Your friends will determine your future. It's not even about friendship, it's about destiny. And if you got the wrong people on the wrong seat of the bus of your life, I'm telling you, most of the trouble you've ever gotten into, if you just look at the friends you were with, probably a pretty good clue. And so you shouldn't give everybody equal access. There ought to be some divine friendships and relationships that God puts into your life. But last week I said, I want to help you identify who those people should be. I want you to prioritize those people because they need the best of your time. And then you ought to be investing in that. And today I want to introduce you to one of those friends that is in my friend zone. In fact, she has the number one seat in my friend zone. She's not just my wife of 31 years. She's also my very best friend. And that this is the priority relationship above all other relationships on the face of this earth. And so we thought we would do that. And I think she feels the same way. You do feel the same way about me, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. How many of you know that was up for debate?
My answer is yes.
And so we thought we'd have that conversation with you today.
I'm going to add just a good morning, everybody. I kind of feel like my back's over here. But before we get into today, we have a save the date that we want to give you today. When Eugene mentioned just about investment, today's message or conversation that we're going to have with y'all is in the context of marriage. It goes to all other relationships as well. But concerning marriage, we want to give you a date. In the upcoming weeks, we're going to be giving you details and we're going to have sign-ups and do all that. But April the 4th is a Saturday from 9 until about 3, something like that. We'll have lunch here provided for all the married couples. We're going to do a one-day marriage intensive. We're going to bring Pastor Jacob and Michelle in. They're going to be our honored guests. Eugene and I will obviously be part of that as well. And so we're just going to spend one day and we're just calling it a marriage intensive and just giving you all kinds of tools and wisdom and insight to help you in your marriage. And so is that something y'all would be excited about? Okay, well, never mind. We won't do it then.
That section that section is not excited about it.
They're mad about it. No.
Yeah. Oh, there's a couple. All
right. Anyway, we'll give you more details as we go along, but we just wanted to give you that date to put down so you can save that date. April 4th is a Saturday. Again, we'll give you more info. But today's message we entitled Courageous Conversations. And in this series, we're talking about, Eugene has been talking about, Pastor Nick, relationships, all kinds of relationships. And there's nothing that can bring you the greatest joy in the world than the relationships in your life. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing that can bring you the most pain in your life other than relationships in your life. Is that true at times too? And so as awesome as they can be difficult as well. And so today, again, this isn't a marriage context, but this will flow over to every single relationship in your life, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a dating relationship, whether it's a family relationship, coworker, whatever it is, you're going to be able to use these principles and it's going to help you in your everyday relationships. Again, the title, we titled it Courageous, Courageous Conversations. And we're going to go through four questions today that we're going to give you the answers to. We're going to ask this question: what is a courageous conversation? What makes this different than just normal conversations? Number two, why have a courageous conversation? Number three, when do you have a courageous conversation? And number four, how do you have this courageous conversation? We have, as Eugene mentioned, we have had conversations with couples over all these years, many, many times when we'll be sitting and visiting with a couple and they'll be on the couch and we'll have, you know, and usually by the time couples get to us, there's been some bumps in the road. They've tried a lot of other avenues, and by the time they get to us, they're going, okay, we really need some help. And so in these conversations that we've had with these couples, so many times there'll be things that'll come out, or the husband will say something, or the wife will say something, or really share their heart, and then we'll say, well, have you said this to your wife or to your husband? And it's surprising how many times most of the couples that we have met with on many occasions will say, no, we've never shared this. Well, you know, that's probably why y'all are here, because we need the communication needs to know, not just go to us, but it needs to go to one another. And in many, if you're married and you can have the greatest marriage in all the world, you're going to have some courageous conversations with one another. And these are not just normal conversations. These are conversations that don't come naturally. They're not easy to have. No one wakes up in the morning and jumps up and down and goes, I can't wait to have this courageous conversation. You don't do that because there's some difficulty in it. And we're going to explain what that means. But the term courageous conversation, I first heard it a couple of years ago. And Eugene has mentioned this over the course of time, that a couple of years ago we had some life coaches that were in our life. It was a husband and wife team, and they were actually on the West Coast and had a counseling service, but they also did life coaching. And what that is just some outside insight to where someone that's not in our world here, someone that doesn't know us necessarily as Pastor Eugene and Miss Heidi and don't know what we do, particularly on a daily basis, but someone that has great wisdom and insight that we can have a conversation with. We know it's confidential. We know they're not going to go tell everyone, but yet they can, but we're also opening ourselves up to where they can speak truth and wisdom into our life. And so this one particular conversation, it was always phone conversations and they would be separate. And so every other week we would have these phone conversations, either with the husband or I would with the wife. And so this was a couple of years ago. I'm having my life coach call and I brought her a situation that was really troubling me. Excuse me. And I was in conflict with another person. It wasn't Eugene, but I was in conflict. Surprisingly, it wasn't you. No, I'm kidding. It wasn't Eugene. And it wasn't anybody in this church. So don't walk out of here and try to figure out who Miss Heidi's ticked off at. So it's not anybody in this church. But there was a conflict between me and another person. And so I was about to be in a setting to where I was going to see this person on a regular basis. And some things had happened and some hurt feelings had happened and kind of a severing of a relationship had happened. And I was about to be in a setting that I was going to see this person on a regular basis. And I was troubled and I was anxious and it was going to be a little awkward. It was going to be a little bit weird. And I was just going, oh man, I don't know what to do. So I knew I was having my life coach call that week. When I made the phone call, one of my first questions, I gave her the situation and I gave her the scenario. And this was the first term that the time I've heard this term. And she said this, Heidi, it sounds like to me you're going to have a courageous conversation with this person. A courageous conversation, meaning you're going to have the courage and the wherewithal to be able to put aside the awkwardness and the weirdness and to be able to just, in love, have a conversation with this person so that y'all can at least break the ice so that when you start seeing them on a regular basis, it's not going to be as weird and as awkward. Now, the relationship may not be mended totally, and your relationship may never look like what it's looked like in the past, and that's okay, but you're going to have a courageous conversation if you're going to be around this person, because if not, it's going to be really, really awkward for the both of y'all. And I knew she was totally right, and so I did, and it went great, and I won't go into all that, but that was the first time that I heard the term courageous conversation. Let me give you two definitions of courageous conversation, what this actually means. Number one is this, a completely honest and open conversation with someone with the purpose of resolving conflict, turmoil, and anxiety in both of your hearts. An open and honest conversation with the purpose of trying to resolve some of the conflict that's in both persons' heart. The second definition is this, expressing your heart openly and truthfully. There's two words you're going to see in both definitions. Expressing your heart openly and truthfully rather than defensively or with the purpose of putting blame on the other person. If we go into a courageous conversation, and even though we're trying to speak truth and we're trying to be open and honest, if we go into it with the intention of putting blame on the other person, I can guarantee you it's going to end up in a fight, a blow up, and it's not going to be good, because we can't go into these courageous conversations with the intent of blaming the other person. We've got to go into these conversations open and honest for both hearts to be open to all that God wants to do and the resolve that he wants to bring. Does that make sense? So that's a courageous conversation, and we're going to build on that the rest of this message.
Or if you just want to be right.
Do what?
Or if you just want to be right. If you're having a conversation with someone, courageous conversation, because you want to prove that you're right, you're never going to resolve the conflict between you. Did you just hear what I said, husbands and wives? How many of you know right ain't all it's cracked up to be? All the married men said? Yeah, right'll get you on the couch. So Pastor Jacob has always said through the years, the quality of your life will determine how you handle conflict. And so we want to just, again, what is a courageous conversation? Heidi just covered it. It's having the courage to have those type of conversations. And I'm going to answer the question, why have a courageous conversation? Why have it? And again, you've heard me say 1,000 times, nothing happens until somebody says something. In other words, we're expecting something to change in a relationship, a marriage, and until we actually opened up our mouth and said it, then nothing actually happens. And don't raise your hand, because I know you've all done this. If I ask you to raise your hand, you wouldn't, and then you'd be lying and you'd sin in church. Where you've had conversations with your spouse or friend about what they need to do, and then that in that conversation that you're having with your spouse, have you ever noticed when you have a conversation with your spouse in your head, they never give you the right answer? I'm going to say this, and then they're going to say this. You always play it out in the negative. And so here's why we should have a conversation. Let me take you to the scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, New Living Translation. The scripture says this, and we'll put it on the board and you can follow along with me. It says, instead, we will speak the truth in anger. That's not what it says, is it? We're going to speak the truth in fear. No, we're going to speak the truth in anxiety. No, we want to speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. There is only one way you grow. I don't like this way. I wish there was another way to grow in Christ. I wish there was another way to mature in Christ. There's only one way to grow and mature in Christ. That's to hear truth. And so those closest to me should be able to speak truth to me. And I should be open to receive that truth because I know God gave me this woman not to meet all of my needs. God gave me her to change me. Listen, if you don't understand the purpose of something, you'll abuse it. The purpose of marriage is not for your needs to be met. The purpose of marriage is for you to grow. Did y'all hear that? Okay, I was just wondering. All right. Okay. So the purpose of a courageous conversation is to speak the truth in love, very important, to speak the truth in love so that both of you can grow thereby. Okay, let me tell you what's going to happen after this service. Let me tell you, because this happens almost every Sunday. After this service, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to walk around backstage. Heidi's going to come backstage, and she's going to have some truth to tell me. It happens every Sunday. She's going to say, baby, that was so good. That was so good. But, and have you know, here it comes. Well, listen, if I can't take truth from the one who loves me the most, if you can't take truth from this one, I probably am not going to be open to truth to anybody else in my life. Are you with me? Are you hearing me, husband? We're gonna get on the ladies here in a moment. But men, we can be so defensive. Why are we so defensive? Can I say something, babe? Wait. You'll already start instead of going, I know you love me. Be gentle, right? Be gentle with me. Speak the truth in love, not in anger, not in fear, not in anxiety. If you can speak that truth in love to me where I can receive it, then I can grow. And so that'll happen after the service, I promise.
Okay, it's not, let me say this. It's not every single Sunday.
It's most Sundays.
It's most Sundays. You said every single Sunday.
Well,
it's
most seems Sundays. Like every single
yeah.
Sunday.
Okay.
It feels like every single Sunday.
Wow.
Are
okay.
you with me, men?
Okay. But let me say this. Let me say this. Eugene's totally right. But more often times than not, before I can even give any kind of input, he'll come to me and go, Heidi, how did you think that went? Is there anything I need to change? How do you think that came across? Because in having courageous conversations, it's not just the person having the conversation, it's the person on the other end inviting the people in your life to be able to speak truth to you. Mm-hmm. And that makes the job so much easier. Eugene spoke last week about that the people that we are to keep close to us, everybody in our life is not to have the same proximity to us. That's not better than, less than, that's not, but it is an issue of trust and those people that God's divinely connected to you. And so the importance of keeping people in our life that are close to us, that love us enough, that we also invite that. Is there anything you need to say to me? How do you think that went? So that when those courageous conversations need to happen, it's much easier to have them when they're invited.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so dangerous is the man or the woman. Dangerous is the man or the woman that cannot receive truth but only speak truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have people in our, we all know of people that way, that they are king and queen of speaking truth to other people, but less truth come back to them than God help them, because they're not going to receive it. And the only way that this works and the only way that we grow is that not only are we able to speak truth, but we're able to receive truth as well. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so again, Eugene's been great at that. And going, is there something that you know I can change when it comes to a message or whatever? And I love him more than anybody in the whole world. And so I want to be able to share truth with him before somebody else does, and they may share it with him in the wrong way, in the wrong heart, in a heart of offense, to where I can, and again, Eugene gets on a roll, and he gets, and he's funny, and away he goes, and the train starts leaving, and then all of a sudden, you know, you just go, okay, bridge out ahead, stop, don't say it, you know, and there's times that he just goes, hey, so I
get excited.
But I want to be able to speak that to him before he hears it from somebody else that may come across in the wrong way with not the same love. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So again, why do we have those? Number three is this: when do you have a courageous conversation? When do you have these conversations? And I am going to speak this from experience, and we're going to talk a little bit in just a moment, just some personal experiences, some things that we did right and some things that we've not done right. And one of the things that I haven't always done right in our marriage is having these courageous conversations. My timing has been awful. In early years, I can be the queen of the worst timing in the whole world. So timing is everything when it comes to courageous conversations. Timing is everything. Much prayer needs to go in to this conversation prior to having it. Because you need to talk it out with God first before you ever talk it out with another human being. Okay? And if we talked it out with God first, it would be amazing how those conversations would go. Because there would be some things when we hear ourselves say it, it doesn't come across too good, and go, you know what, I don't need to say that, and let the Holy Spirit really begin to show you the direction that you need to go. Again, early in marriage, and I was a young wife and mother, for the first many years of our marriage, my timing was terrible because I knew what I saw and I knew what I felt and I knew that it was truth, but my timing was terrible because as soon as it came into my head, I just thought, that's the time to say it. I mean, it didn't matter setting, it didn't matter kids, and I never had these conversations in front of other people, and we didn't mention that. These are private conversations. Don't storm up to your husband out in the lobby when there's 50 people around and decide you're going to speak some truth to him. Okay? I'm not going to pull Eugene out of the lobby and tell him everything, or he tells me in front of everybody. These are private conversations, and that's honoring to the people that you're or the person you're having it with. But again, I would say it privately, but as soon as something came into my head, I would just say it right then. It was the wrong time. It was the wrong spirit. He didn't receive it. He got defensive. I got mad. We walked away and never felt like we accomplished anything because the timing was so bad. Again, this is a learned art. This is something you've got to learn. And sadly, sometimes you've got to learn what not to do. You've done it the wrong way to be able to go, okay, I'm going to do it the right way.
Terrible. You were terrible.
Terrible. I said
horrible.
That. I said horrific.
You stunk at it.
We've made that clear. I have grown over the years. But this has become our rule. We say this. This is not just in a marriage relationship. In all relationships, we've taught our staff this. We've taught our team members this. It's the 24-hour rule. Don't say anything for 24 hours. I'm not talking about the silent treatment. I'm talking about if something bothers you, if I've done something to bother Eugene, if he's done something to bother me, I'm not going to just zero in because I am black and white and I can talk in black and white and I don't like a lot of water under the bridge. I don't like things not being right. Let's deal with it. Again, sometimes that serves you well and many times that doesn't serve you well. So to wait 24 hours and to go, 24 hours gives us time to bring it to God first, to get a good night's sleep. It's amazing just when we're tired how exaggerated and magnified things can be simply because we're tired. Have a good night's sleep, get up the next day, and 24 hours later, if this particular thing is still bothering me, then I'm going to go have a conversation with him. And he to me, vice versa. And again, that's in any relationship. But it's amazing that after 24 hours and really bringing it to God in prayer and sleeping on it and thinking about it, things that we make a really big deal 24 hours later may not be that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. Things that we magnify may not be as big as we think they are, but if they still are sticking to us, if they're still bothering us 24 hours later, then we have the right heart and posture to go in and have that conversation, knowing this is something important and significant that we need to talk about. There's a verse in Colossians that says it this way, Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, and it says, "Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." Pastor Nick, a couple of weeks ago, did a great message on offense and being offended. But I want to look at the very beginning of the verse where it says, "Make allowances for each other's faults." Why is it that we can make allowances for so many faults in other people's lives, but when it comes to our spouse, we don't make allowance for anything? That we can have a lot of grace and a lot of forgiveness and a lot of understanding if it was a family member or a child or a coworker or a friend. But when it comes to a spouse, we're not great at making allowances for their faults. And so what we're not talking about today, we're not talking about being nitpicky about everything. We're not saying make every conversation a courageous conversation, because if you do that, then there's no weight in the truthful conversations when they need to happen. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say this to the girls, because I am one and I understand this and I know what this feels like. Don't nitpick every single little thing that just really doesn't matter.
Say it again.
Okay.
Amen.
Do you want me to give you examples?
That's true.
Every little thing. Don't storm into your husband and go, "We need to have a courageous conversation. I don't know why you can't pick up these socks and take them 3 feet and put them in the hamper." Okay, that's not a courageous conversation. That's being a little bit nitpicky. Now, I don't want dirty socks on my floor either. However, there's a way to go about it. Eugene, it'd be really nice if you could take 2 steps and throw that in there. That'd be awesome.
You're so courageous. Why
don't you try real hard? Let's try real hard to get those where they need to be. Okay, whatever. But I'm saying, don't nitpick every single thing and think that every conversation needs to carry the weight and gravity that these do. Because if you do it that way, then you're just like Charlie Brown's teacher in the background. It's white noise. And nobody's going to hear you because you're just and all the time. We're talking about making allowance. So when you're needing to have a courageous conversation, ask yourself, is this something I need to make allowance for? And go, this isn't really a big deal. This isn't heaven or hell. It's not eternal. If those socks stay there and I have to pick them up, we're all still going to heaven and it's all going to be okay. Or is this something that I really need to bring to him or them or whoever and really be truthful and honest because I love them enough to tell them the truth? So that the timing of it is everything. You can say the right thing at the wrong time and it be the wrong thing. You can say the right thing at the wrong time and it be the wrong thing and that's totally right. Destroy what you're trying to say because it was absolutely the wrong time. And so over the years in our conversations, I will say things like, "Eugene, there's something I really need to talk to you about. When's a good time to say today that we can sit down and visit a little bit?" And that way, it gives him a little bit of a heads up. We have a time to where, again, it's not just off the handle and you're doing it out of the wrong heart and spirit. Timing is everything when it comes to these conversations.
That's gold right there.
Yeah.
It's gold. Yeah. I'm just telling you. It's gold. And so I wanted to really just kind of our number four point was really just how to have it, how to go. And we were talking about this. We were preparing yesterday and talking about this conversation we wanted to have with y'all. And we were like, there's only, I don't know any other way, and Heidi could probably figure out another way because she's intelligent, I'm relational, is almost to do it like a real live thing right in front of you. Like, almost like, could we have like a real conversation, courageous conversation? And so we're going to share just a couple of those that we've had just so you kind of get a sample of how those went down. How many of y'all would like to peer in to us having a courageous conversation? How many would like for us to show you the junk in our trunk? Y'all are sick people, is all I got to say. So, Yeah. So let me help you, first of all, kind of setting up the courageous conversation, because Most people get into communication conflict where they can't move the ball because there's something going on in their heart. And I'll tell you what it is. We've been doing this for 30 years. When couples can't get over an impasse, it's because there is an expectation that's in their heart that they're not communicating. So you have something, well, they ought to know. They just ought to know. They should just know that's when they don't know. Can I help you girls? We're not real smart. If you don't tell us, we don't know. See what I mean? We don't know. Well, they should just know. Well, we don't know. We don't know. So if you could help us by communicating, but I want to take something out of your vocabulary and take it out of expectation. Because I expect. Do you hear that word? Expectation just has a connotation that's not going to help you move the ball down the field. If you could get that word expectation out of your vocabulary when it comes to relationships, just remove it. Swipe right and put it into a different word, desire. That's different. I have an expectation. Or how about this? I have a desire. I can remember sitting one time with a newly married couple. We're doing premarital. We're going like that. And we started talking about intimacy, right? Because there's some expectations. And I said, we're going to talk about it. We're going to get it out. There's some expectations. And the gentleman says, well, every night. That's what she said. She's like, what are we talking about? It's different. You go, if it's a desire, it's a desire. So there are desires in her heart. There's desires in my heart. And if we can communicate them as desires and not expectations, I want to meet the desires of her heart. I love her. I want to meet them. I'm not going to meet all of them. I wasn't created to meet all of them. Heidi can't meet all of mine. She wants to, but she can't. And so as long as we're communicating it that way, then I think we're going to be all right.
Early on in marriage, these first many years that were a bit bumpy, I did that. I was young, I was immature, didn't have very much wisdom at all. And so I would go and, you know, whether you have young kids at home and working and ministry and, you know, needing some time together, needing to go to dinner and just have a good conversation, whatever. And I would communicate it as an expectation. I would communicate, you need to, we need to go, you know, we need to go out on a date night once a week or every other week, or we need to do this or we need to do this. And I would, it would be demanding rather than a request. Whether it became almost a me against him type thing. And the enemy's way is always to do that. It's always to have us forget that we're on the same team. Mm-hmm. And as a married couple, you're on the same team. You're shooting at the same goal. You're trying to accomplish the same thing. And so many times in the world that we live in and all the pulls and distractions and all that happens, then we come to a place where we're almost like we're playing on two separate teams. And that's kind of where we were at, just going, this is what I want, this is what I want, what I want. And then and Eugene would say, I can't read your mind. I don't know what you want unless you tell me, but saying it that way is not helping me either. And so we finally came to a place to go, it's not wrong for me to go, you know what, this is really important to me. I would like it if we could, you know, have a date night once a week or every other week or whatever. And it was okay for me to take the initiative and put it on the calendar and go, let's go ahead and schedule it for this day. Because as women in our minds, well, he should just be thinking about it. He should just know. He should just, and sometimes that's the case, but more often than not, it's not the case. And it's okay, again, to express the desire, not the expectation, because the expectation puts a weight on them that they're not responding to it because they want to meet the desire. They're responding to it just to get you to shut up and get off their back. Really and truly. I don't know how else to say it. But I'm just saying, we've been there, and I've done it, and I know, and just changing some terminology really made a very big difference.
I was just thinking, Heidi went through this season. Many of you know, it was public because she had to be out for a while, had knee replacement surgery. She'd been in a lot of pain for a couple of years. And I'll just tell you something that I noticed in her. She was getting negative. This is a season. It's like everything was, the grass needs to be mowed. You know what I'm talking about, men? That little season they walk through. When you walk into the house, you put your finger out. Like, I ain't coming home yet. I mean, I just go through this little season. Everything was, when are we going to do this? I'm waiting for the right time, because timing's everything. And we walked through that season, and I saw the opening. And she's, you know, we're getting ready for surgery. Pre-surgery, she's like, you know, I've already got this in my mind. Like, I need to have this courageous conversation with her. And then she's going, I'm not going to do the surgery. And I looked at her side. Let me tell you something, girlfriend. You're doing the surgery. I don't care what happens. You do it. See, I've already got it in my mind. She's been in pain. It's coming out. This is not her. It's not her. This is not who she is. I know that. And she's, I'm not having the surgery. I'm just going to do it.
Okay, I wasn't that violent, but go ahead. I wasn't as violent. You look at me. I was not that violent. Go ahead.
This is my section of the message. Are y'all with me? I was there, Danny. This is my part of the story. And she's like, I'm not doing it. I'm just not even doing this surgery. I'm calling Dr. Field, and it's over. We're not even doing it. I go, no. You're doing it. You're going there. I will drag you there. I'll get something from the doc, slip it in her tea in the morning and carry her there by myself. We are getting our surgery done.
Only one of us got a knee cut out, but go ahead.
It wasn't easy being me either. That's all I got to say. So we go through the surgery. And, you know, she's there, and the moment came. I knew it was the moment. If you'll take it to God, He'll open up the door for the conversation. It'll just be like, you go, win, the door opens. I said, baby, can I talk to you? Yes. I'm proud of you. Thank you. Going to surgery, it's going to be good. Listen, I've noticed something about you. It's not you. You're not the same. And I know this would never, ever, ever be your heart. But over these last 6 months, you've been very negative. Everything that was little was magnified and became bigger and bigger. And I gave her a couple of examples. And I said, these are just a few samples. And look at me, baby. I know that's not you. You've always been full of faith. The glass is half full. You've always been optimistic. You've always believed the best. And over this last period, you haven't. You believed the worst. It was always half empty. And I know you've been in a lot of pain, and that has a lot to do with it. And I just want to tell you this because I love you. I want the old Heidi back. Do you receive this, baby? And she says,
you're crazy. No, I didn't say that. No. I didn't say that. He was right. He was totally right. And there's all the reasons why. There's all the reasons I had gotten to that point. But this is what happens when you allow people to speak truth to you. They're going to see what you cannot see. If I had known I was going down that negative road, I would have stopped myself. But I was so consumed with pain and rehab and how to get this thing better and how all the stuff. I was blinded to what I was allowing my circumstances to do to me. Okay, and this is a whole nother message for a whole nother day. But I'm just going to say this. That I allowed my circumstances to dictate who I became instead of me dictating what my circumstances were going to be. Again, that's a whole nother message, a whole nother day. But because I had people in my life, and namely a husband that loved and cared for me enough, it was not easy to hear. And I remember sitting there on the couch and tears just running down my face, but going, that's not me. I'm not negative. I don't want to turn into somebody like that. And so I, as hard as it was for him to speak the truth, it was just as hard for me to hear the truth. Now, I could have become defensive. I could have given him every reason why. You don't know what this feels like. You don't know the pain. I could have gone down that road, and I didn't. I just said, baby, you're totally right. And thank you for loving me enough to speak truth to me. And then I took it one step farther. It's not enough just to hear the truth and receive the truth. Then I had a responsibility to get up and do something about the truth. Mm-hmm. And I really got very serious, repented before Eugene, repented before God, went to the Word of God and going, God, I'm going to start changing how I'm thinking. Because my first thoughts now are negative and not positive. My first thoughts now are now fearful and not faithful. Mm-hmm. My first thoughts are not what the Word of God says, but what the enemy's lies are saying to me. And I'm the only one who can change what happens in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I got very, very serious about going, I'm going to make some changes. I'm not going to blame this on anybody else. And I'm not going to even blame this on the season I've gone through. I'm a full-grown woman that can change what goes on in my mind, and I'm going to not be the glass half empty girl anymore. I'm going to go back to the glass half full girl. And I went through a season where I really got the scripture memorization in my heart, put it on my note cards, read verses, prayed going, God, that I'm not going to open my mouth until I can say something positive and encouraging and full of faith. And so I say that not because I'm a hero, because I'm not, to let you know that we're all human and that we all go through these seasons, but to go, it is as important to hear truth as it is to receive truth. It's as important to speak truth as it is to hear truth. So I can say I'm speaking truth to him all day long, but if I'm not ready to receive truth from him, then it's only a one-way street. And nobody grows because of that. No one grows. And the purpose, and Eugene has said this earlier, the purpose of marriage is to grow. The purpose of relationships in your life is to grow. And that when things don't grow and things become stagnant in our lives, what happens? They begin to stink. Stagnant things stink. That's in the natural, and it's also in relationships. And so if you're in a marriage today, there's many of you here today going, I need to have a courageous conversation. There's some of you in here today going, I need to receive a courageous conversation. Someone's loved me enough in my life and they've spoken truth to me, but I received it the wrong way. And yeah. I need to go back and make that right with them and apologize and give them the freedom to speak truth to me. We only grow by speaking truth and by receiving truth. And we are so adamant about this because we've got a community out there that needs to see a standard of a godly marriage, of a godly family, of godly relationships in our life. And we're never going to be the example and the standard that our community needs if we don't take the responsibility of having some courageous conversations.
Yeah, very good.
Not to point the blame at other people, not to tell everybody what they've done wrong. A courageous conversation is that both people can grow. It's not just the one speaking, it's the one receiving. And there's a lot of work for us to do. And there's a lot of family repair that needs to happen and a lot of marriages that God wants to restore. And it begins with having courageous conversations and also inviting conversations into our life for God to come, pour out the oil of the Holy Spirit and bring some real healing to some marriages and some relationships that are in this very room.
Amen. Do y'all receive this word today? Would you just bow your heads if you are married and you're there with your spouse, if you just take them by the hand. Father, we just pray. I know your Holy Spirit is already speaking to the hearts that are in the room. And I ask, Father, that the seed of your word would fall on ground today that would produce fruit in lives. And I pray that there's probably going to be some courageous conversations this afternoon. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be there, and that, Father, you would bring about change and growth in our life. We want to be more like you. Thank you for the wife of my youth who helped me grow. And so, Father, we thank you for the friendships that you've put in our life. Some we've cut off when we shouldn't have. Remind us. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would bring divine friendships and relationships in our life that would help us grow. And we'd help them grow. So thank you, Father, for our friends. Pray your blessings over them in the name of Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, I just want to have one more courageous conversation with you. Love you enough to tell you the truth. Heaven is a real place. It's not a figment. It's a real place. The Bible says when each of us are ordained, there is a day, a reckoning day, an expiration date on every one of us. It's appointed man wants to die. Heaven is a real place, and there are really people there. But hell is also a real place. It is as real as heaven. And we end up in one place or the other. Heaven can't be gained by doing good deeds. Hell's not gained just by doing bad deeds. How do I get into heaven? Heaven is reserved for those who recognize their sin and put their trust in a Savior. Jesus came from heaven to earth on a SEAL Team 6 mission to seek and to save that which was lost. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, every one of us. We've broken the law of God, and because we've broken the law of God, we deserve to pay the penalty for breaking it. What's the penalty? Eternal separation from God, a place called hell. How do I get to heaven? You got to put your faith and trust in someone else. There's only one way, and that's those who put their faith and trust in Jesus. You can have forgiveness of your sins today. You can be forgiven, wiped over. Jesus called it being born again. You might have even said that. I wish I could be born again. I wish I could start all over. You can. You must be born again. How do I do it? It's easy as A, B, C. A, admit that you're a sinner. It begins there. Only you can do that. You got to admit it. You got to own it. You got to take responsibility. You got to admit it. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. B, believe that Jesus came to live a sinless life on this earth and to pay the penalty for your sin, mine and yours, to take your guilt, your sin, and your shame, and he died for it. And then C, confess him as Lord and Savior. That means open up your heart and let him become the boss. You've been the boss. You've let others boss you. There's only one that deserves to be your boss, and it's him. Today, if that's you, you'd like to be born again, this is your invitation. I want to pray for you right now. No one's looking but me. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If that's you today and you'd like to be born again, I'm going to pray for you right now. All I ask is you say, Pastor, you, that's me. Would you just lift your hand up high all over the room today? Just hold it up high. Don't be ashamed. Thank you, sir. I see your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. I see it. 15, 16, and 17, and 18, and 19, and 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 25, 26. Let's pray with each one of these. Let's add our voices to theirs. Would you say this with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you face hell for me, so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God all the praise?
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.